A controversial firearm gets suspended. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Colt's manufacturing company of Hartford, Connecticut, says it will suspend production of its AR-15 rifle. The company says it's about oversupply of this type of firearm in the marketplace. The AR-15 has been used in mass shootings. Daniel Webster is the director of the Center for Gun Policy and Research at Johns Hopkins University. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
Colt says there are plenty of what it calls modern sporting rifles available and that it now feels it doesn't need to make more. Is that assessment of essentially a glut of these, do you think, correct?
I think that probably is correct. Over the last 10 years in particular, incredible number of such weapons have been sold. These are very durable products. I'm not shocked that a manufacturer would feel that there's not a great deal of demand for their product right now.
The company says it's suspending production. I mean, that suggests to me suspending for now, but maybe not forever, is my reading of this. Is that how you read it?
Yes, that would be my assumption. It's not that I don't think there's going to be future demand. I suspect that there will be. But the timing right now is such that there's probably not a lot of people who don't already have one or two of such weapons or even more that is desperate to get more.
I think it's an interesting question to ponder whether you would see Colt's move as market-driven, as the statement from the CEO suggests, or in some way responsive to the political moment where it's clear that the AR-15 that they make is often used in mass shootings.
Well, that's correct. But I guess we've had a lot of mass shootings over a lot of years. And more commonly, when in essence, there's a backlash and a call for regulation or banning of assault-style weapons, we see actually the sales increase. Retailers who sell them, in essence, say the government's going to ban these, so you better get them now. So more commonly, what we see following mass shootings is more gun sales, not less.
Daniel Webster is a professor of American Health and the director of the Center for Gun Policy and Research at Johns Hopkins. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
More than 7,000 companies around the world have pledged to use their marketing and digital skills to support the worldwide climate strike today. The student-led demonstrations set for more than 100 countries are aimed at pushing politicians to do more to stop climate change ahead of a UN climate summit. Already today, more than 100,000 people turned out at a protest in Melbourne, Australia. A few retail chains have closed their stores today, including Lush Cosmetics and two outdoor-oriented companies, Burton and Patagonia. The CEO of Patagonia, Rose Macario, posted that, quote, capitalism needs to evolve if humanity is going to survive. Lisa Pike-Shee is VP of Environmental Activism for Patagonia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David.
A big issue at stake here, clearly, but closing stores, won't that cost Patagonia a fortune?
Well, it's really important to us that we support the global youth activists in calling for governments around the world to declare a climate emergency. To us, this is business as usual. We've closed our stores in the past to support climate activists, and we're doing the same this time around.
And there seems to be a sense there that you think it would add up, that this would move the needle, what's happening today, but also your more ongoing efforts.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a climate crisis, and we absolutely stand behind the youth activists, which are lending their voice and their passion, and we're inspired by them for speaking up and asking governments to declare an emergency.
And I know a lot of companies are trying to reduce climate gases that manufacturing and transportation produces with a goal toward, in some cases, being carbon neutral. Patagonia is taking a more radical approach.
It is our goal to be carbon neutral by 2025. But I'd also like to talk a little bit about regenerative organic agriculture as a source for food and fiber for our apparel. So one of the initiatives that we're taking right now in partnership with other companies is launching a regenerative organic certification for farmers that we're really excited about.
And with carbon capture, if it all works and the science works, there's even this notion that Patagonia could become carbon positive. That's asking a lot.
That would be the goal. And I think that regenerative practices can actually capture more carbon than the traditional agriculture system is currently emitting. So that would move into that positive space.
One approach some advocates say is for people to just buy fewer new clothes, Patagonia or otherwise. I mean, your company must be aware of this tension, promoting consumer culture alongside promoting action on climate change awareness.
Well, absolutely. One of the most important things you can do, actually, is to keep your clothes in use longer. So we're in partnership with our customers to repair, reuse, and recycle clothing through our Wear and Wear program. And our call to action here in the United States is to tell Congress that there is no room in government for climate deniers. So we'll be specifically reaching out to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Leader Mitch McConnell with that message.
Patagonia's Lisa Pike Sheehy, thank you very much for this.
Thank you, David.
We also have coverage of how employees within big companies such as Amazon have been pressuring their firms to do more about climate change. If you've missed that on the air, it's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Apple has just launched its subscription game service called Apple Arcade. Instead of buying games one at a time, people will pay $5 a month to play dozens of games on Apple devices. Yet another subscription service to add to your Netflix, Disney Plus, whatever else you have. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
Video games are set to make $150 billion globally this year, says analytics firm Newzoo, and the biggest segment of that is mobile gaming, like playing Candy Crush on your iPhone. One issue, though, is
most of the market actually in mobile is free to play.
Jeff Cohen is at the financial services firm Stevens. He's skeptical many customers will pay to subscribe, even if Apple's service is ad-free. Cohen also says big developers, like the ones behind Candy Crush, are making plenty of money from ads and in-app purchases. But
you could see some indie developers that are interested in this, and Apple seems to be writing pretty decent-sized checks.
Developers like Anthony Berquez, CEO at Grab Games. He's trying to get his games into Apple Arcade.
Hopefully the subscription model works out not only for the consumer, but also the developer.
There are more than 100 games in Apple Arcade right now. No quarters required. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.